हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So Adhyayana 4 Adi Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 4 Adi Karma. Read. Anucheda 110, page 76. Next, Bhagavan is provisionally inferred by his Amsha, Antayami, since Antayami cannot be concluded as the final being by the following logic. If the Lord enters with all his Amsha into the Jivas instead of just a portion of his whole self, for showing his power as Antayami, then he could not be the Lord, since he would no longer be complete. Gita says, Atava bahu naitena kim yatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. But what is the use of knowing all these individual vibhutis, Arjuna? Please understand, by just one portion of myself, I am firmly established in the universe. Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Vishnu Puran says, Sva Shakti Lesha Vrita Bhuta Sargaha. All beings and creations are pervaded by a particle of the Lord's Shakti. Right, so it's just a little bit that's there. Lakshmi Tantra mentions that she's saying that in one place, she says it twice. One place she says, one millionth of a millionth part is how much is that Amsha, that he pervades the whole universe and makes everything work. You know, that means that she's talking about the Mahatattva, right? And then in another place, she says a billionth of a billionth. So in other words, it's very, very small amount of, so it's like, if you're used to being like, it's, let's say you're in a dark room, the lights have gone off. After a while, your eyes adjust, and you start to see shapes and this and that. So if everybody's in that condition, then you'll say, then that becomes normal. So that's the material world, is that we're dealing with such limited amount of shakti. And that, but we all think it's so fabulous. But in the spiritual world, then you're dealing with the unlimited. So that's the point, is with Bhagavan, he can manifest his full potencies, right? That full and that's unlimited aspect. Well, here, you have unlimited in the way of, you know, numerically or volume, like, I mean, numerically or distance or that kind of aspect. But it doesn't have the intensity of it. Vishnu Puran says, Sva Shakti Leshava Vrita Bhuta Sargaha. All beings and creations are pervaded by a particle of the Lord's Shakti. It should be concluded that the Jiva is an entity who is impelled by a doer acting as the instigator, since he is not independent. That he is like a carpenter, right? Because a carpenter, they do all the nice work, but they're not working on their own. You don't see just carpenters going out just building things on their own. It's that they're based on someone else wants a cabinet made. Therefore, the carpenter gets the work done. You know, and in one sense, you can say, yes, I built this cabinet. You know, that way you can say. But in actuality, you didn't. Because you didn't supply the goods. You didn't. It was the willpower and all that, and all those desires wasn't yours. It won't be used by you. Yeah. In this way, just as Antayami has been proved by invariable concomitants, gyapti, So Bhagavan is also proved by the same means. Antaryami, who dwells on the jiva of insignificant power, is Ishwara, but Antaryami takes shelter of Bhagavan, who is his shelter, his source, just as the power of the carpenter to act takes shelter of the power of the king. Right? You know, yes. So the aspect as you go back is all these are taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. So he expands himself. And it's all that, but they're still, they're an aspect, they're an amsha of Krishna's sarup. Because it's Krishna. But he's expanding himself to do different things. So that's the whole point, is everything is based on Krishna. So that's why then what the Shastras say is that, you know, when it's the Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arsa Vritya, that means even the Vishnu Tattvas are all servants of Krishna. So you see, Nityananda Prabhu is servant of Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Prabhu is servant of Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. The following is also said in the book. So this is important because then we're seeing as we've established the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, how he's beyond, how he's transcendental, and he's controlling everything. But then you want to establish how Krishna is beyond that. Right? So we've done through the Pancharatrik that Vasudeva is beyond these features. Right? Because Vasudeva, then you'll see is that he's there in the spiritual world, Mahanarayan. He's the source of Sankarshan Prajumna. So he's there, but at the same time, as we see, is that he's also an amsha, that it goes back to Krishna. He's that Krishna and Braj, he's the origin. So Brahma Samhita is about that point. So sometimes, you know, we say, oh, it could be this and that, and it's all features of Krishna, it's all Krishna. And Krishna is transcendental in all these positions and has full potency, like the example of the lamps, they all have the same potency. But at the same time, is they're still dependent on Krishna. So this aspect of, you know, it's like, why do we have to be dependent on Krishna and this and that? But the point is all his expansions are dependent on Krishna. So whether they're Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, and we're an expansion of Shakti Tattva, we're an expansion of expansion, right? And so, and also the material world is dependent upon Krishna. You know, so therefore, then he's only asking us to do what he does. He does like that. He is serving himself there. So why wouldn't we serve? And we're in the same position. We're not in the same volume of that, but we're in the same position. The following was also said in Bhagavatam. Just as one object, the substrate of many qualities, is perceived by the various senses in various ways. So Bhagavan is perceived variously by the various scriptural practices. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32-33. But so this is, you know, you have one object that has so many qualities, right? So you take any one thing, and from that, so many qualities can come out. You can say, you know, talk about its shape or its color or, you know, its power, or all these things. So all these qualities are part of that one object. So the point is that one object is Bhagavan. And so then all the various scriptural practices and explanations and all that, they're all just explaining aspects of him. That's the important aspect, is that the 14 books of Vedic knowledge, they're just showing, perceiving these different ways of applying. You're, you know, like the theater, then it's the hearing, the sound that you're taking, you know, then in other things, it'll be, you may, other senses may be engaged. And so all these things is that they're engaging the mind and senses and the intelligence in various ways and various aspects, but they're all Krishna. So that means that's the idea of the Chaitanya Upanayan, of course, is that you're seeing how Krishna is in everything. And it's all Krishna that is about. So he's the substrate of language. He's the substrate of ritual. He's the substrate of history. He's the substrate of it. So there isn't something else other than him. He's the basis. As Krishna says, you know, that, you know, everything is strung on him, you know, like pearls are strung on a thread. Is that Mata Parakanam Namya? I'm not sure. Okay. By this it is proved that the goal of all scriptures is the same, Bhagavan. So it doesn't matter what scripture, even if you're studying Ayurveda, the goal is Bhagavan. It's just presenting those qualities of Krishna that are applied, you know, medicinally to the body, the mind, the words, you know, the environment around you, all these different things. And so its purpose is then is Krishna. It doesn't have a different purpose. Sukadev speaks the verse. In this way, the verse Vedanti Tat Tat Bhavidaha is supported. Right? So all these things, Brahman and Paramatma, they're dependent on Bhagavan. Even though they're independent, but they're still dependent on Bhagavan. Here ends Paramatma Sandarbha, the third among the Sandarbhas, which use Bhagavatam as their source, and which contain the expert instructions of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, most revered members of the assembly of the best Vaishnavas in the universe. Following the lotus feet of Lord Krishna Chaitanya Dev, who descended to distribute his worship in order to purify Kali Yuga. The Paramatma Sandarbhas, the third of the Sandarbhas, which are the essence of all collections of verses. Right? So he's gone through the Bhagavatam, and then in support of that, so it's based on the Bhagavatam, and then it'll be all the Bhagavatam verses and then collection of any other verses that Bhagavatam is commenting on. Because Bhagavatam being the essence of the Vedic literatures, then you're seeing from all these different angles which aspect you're trying to bring out. Then, you know, let's say, so especially Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, the Puranas, they're going to be discussing about the Lord. And so then the Bhagavatam is going to be the conclusion of that. So then those verses that connect to those particular Bhagavatam verses, those are also included in this compendium. So you can see how Bhagavan is going out in every area. Yes? No? This adhyaya established the Lord's faultless nature, and Bhagavan is the source and shelter of everything that exists, and is the ultimate goal of all meditations. In the first adhikarna, we have seen that the first...
Maharaj, the sentence is a little wrong. We have seen that the first adhikarna explained.
I mean, technically, in the first adhikarna, you see that that adhikarna, which happens to be the first, is explaining why the jiva is entangled in the material world, but not the Supreme Lord. The next adhikarna clarifies why the next adhikarna explains that that second adhikarna, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Clarifies why the accusations on the Lord for showing favoritism towards demigods and hatred towards demons and his inaction in regards to the suffering of the living entities are not justified. The last adhikarna explains how the third adhikarna describes how Bhagavan is the chief aspect of the absolute truth through analysis of Bhagavatam. According to the six principles of interpretation, right? Because this aspect of interpretation, then that's what your hermeneutics is going to be based upon, right? So when Jaimini gives that those six principles of interpretation, everybody uses that. Just like Gotama gives Nyaya, everybody uses that. Right, if you're analyzing the elements, the Shankhya, everybody uses it. If they're into analyzing the elements, they're not going to come up with something else. It's not that Shankhya says earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then Jaimini says, you know, fruit juice, mango juice, a couch, an umbrella, and a hand fan. You know, these are, you know, the elements by which the universe is created. No, it's all the same thing. So that's the point, is these point principles have been given, but then how they go through and interpret and understand that, that's what makes the different schools. So the six principles of interpretation is not just, well, why that? Why not something else? You know? Thus, it is thoroughly proven that the Supreme Lord doesn't partake of the faults of the material world, or in the faults of the material world and the jiva. The faults of the material world and the jiva. And he is the ultimate goal of all meditation worship. All right, so we brought it to that part. Then that will naturally give rise to the next sandarbha, which will be Krishna sandarbha. And then we're talking about Krishna as Bhagavan. Because otherwise, the first sandarbha, we're discussing about how Krishna is expanded as Brahman and what he does as in that feature of Brahman and how Brahman is based on Krishna. Then Paramatma, how he controls everything, how he's superior, and at the same time, how he is dependent on Krishna. But then the third one is, then it's Bhagavan, how Krishna is there, and how he is, you know, the unique and everything there. Summary of Paramatma Sandarbha. The Paramatma Sandarbha is elaborately dealt with the three tattvas, Chit, Achit, Ishwara, and the relationship among them. First, the three features of the Paramatma, Ishwara, and his Amshas, the three guna avatars, are elaborately discussed, which establish the independent nature and the supreme position of the Lord. Next, the primary qualities of the jiva, chit, are stated. In order to establish the qualitative oneness of the jiva with the Lord and his subordinate position. After this, right. So the qualitative oneness, but he's subordinate because he's small and he's a Shakti while the Lord is Shaktiman. So you had, how does the two, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know. So when you say is that, you know, the drop of water in the ocean, you're only showing, you know, the quality, it's not the quantity. And where does the drop of water come from? The ocean. Right. After this, the different functions of the material energy, achit, is elaborated wherein the truth about the material world is established. The material universe has a real existence, and it is a transformation of the Lord Shakti part of the body. The reality is enunciated by the principle of Satkaryavad. Effect is inherent in the cause, which proves that the universe is non-different from the Lord and doesn't possess an independent an independent existence apart from the Lord. Thus, everything in this world is simultaneously one and different from the Lord. Finally, so it's non-different from the Lord. It's an effect of the Lord's expanding its energies. And then those energies transform, so you get the material manifestation. In the spiritual world, they don't transform. You have the spiritual manifestation. And he is the end. Finally, the supremacy of the Lord as the source and shelter is confirmed herein, wherein it is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although devoid of material qualities, superintends all material activities. There's also a discussion of how the Leela Avatar incarnations respond to the desires of the devotee, and then how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is characterized by six opulences. Thus, the Sandarbha demonstrates how the Supreme Lord, in his Paramatma feature, is the master and control of everything that exists, and at the same time, detached from it. Priti. Next, the second and third chapters of Sutra Sutras are cited in order to reinforce the conclusions established in the Paramatma Sandarbha. You know, just sometimes we use Jaiva Dharma or other things, so here are the Tempa Sutra. Chapter 2, Chit Padartha Prakarana, Spirit. Introduction by Bhaktivinoda Kaur. Here someone may ask, to whom does the Supreme Personality of Godhead give mercy when he creates the material universes and performs their activities? Why does he give his mercy to these persons? To answer this question, by showing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates the material universes and performs many other activities in order to give mercy to the individual spirit souls. And also by showing, using all the Vedanta scriptures as evidence, the true nature of the individual spirit souls. The author of these sutras now begins this chapter, which gives an elaborate definition of the word chit, spirit. Sutra 11. The many conscious beings are followers of the Supreme, for they must obey his commands. Sukriti. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the difference between Jiva and Paramatma in the first Anucheda of Paramatma Siddhartha, where he states that the Lord is the possessor of Kira Shakti. The following quote from the sutra affirms the current sutra. The Lord alone has entered all beings. He is all pervading. He is the Antaryami of all beings. He is the controller of karma. He is the basis of all beings. He is the witness and the giver of consciousness. He is the possessor of Shakti. He is beyond the gunas. Svetashtatara Upanishad 6:11. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur. Here the word chetana means conscious spirit souls. The plural is used here to indicate that the souls are many in number. The word parandugataha means that the souls are subordinate to the Supreme Personality, Godhead. They are under his control. This is so because they must obey his commands. In the Shruti Sastra, it is said, residing in the heart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead controls the individual living entities. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, it is said, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all entities. In the Narada Pancharatra, second night, first chapter, Lord Sadashiva explains, the individual spirit soul, who is like a reflection of the Supreme Lord, suffers and enjoys in the material world. Some sages say that this eternal soul has qualities like those of the Lord himself. Sometimes the living individual soul is visible, and sometimes he disappears. When he disappears, he is born again in another body. The soul never dies. He merely travels from one material body to another. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:5-6, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, besides this inferior nature of Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both its origin and dissolution. In the Upanishads, it is said, O Svetaketu, you are that. It means the jiva is an anksa of the Lord. So that means as the Lord is spirit, the soul is spirit. But the soul is small and the Lord is unlimited. You know, it's like one drop of spirit. And it's not getting any bigger than one drop. It's eternally one drop. And then Krishna is unlimited and, you know, eternal. In the Srila Madhvacharya's Tattva Muktavali, text 6, it is said, the Mayavadi commentator on the Vedanta claim that the words tattvam asi are the Mahavakya, the most important statement of the Vedas. According to his explanation, tat means the supreme, tvam means you, and asi are. He interpreted the words to mean you are the supreme, and he claimed there's no difference between the supreme and the individual souls. The Vaishnava commentator of Vedanta interpreted his words in a different way, saying that tatvam is a possessive command compound word, shasti tatpurusha samasa. According to his explanation, tat means of the supreme, and the entire sentence means you are the servant of the supreme. In this way, the proper meaning of the scriptural statement is clearly shown. Slightly different approach, no? They're trying to say you are that means that you are that means you are the servant of that. You are of the same quality as the Lord, but you are a servant of the Lord.
They just miss one off. You are of that. Tattva Masi means according to Madhvacharya, you are of that.
You are the Supreme. You are of the Supreme.
Of the Supreme.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. In the Sri Chaitanya Chandodaya Nataka is presented the following opinion held by the devotees of the Lord. The word Vasudeva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than the greatest. The scriptural statement Sankarshano Jivaha means Lord Sankarshan gives life, Jivayati, to the individual spirit souls. These words do not mean that Lord Sankarshan is himself an individual spirit soul, Jiva. Right, so always this comes up because we have ways we use the word. But the point is no. And so one has to see, that's why the grammar is there. It gives it in a particular way. But, you know, in jugglery, you use something in a different way. Just like, let's say, you have different case endings. Some of the case endings are the same in their form. As you know, Krishna, Krishna, ha, Krishna, Krishna, all these things. So some of them are the same. So what they'll do is just switch it to the other case. And now when you switch it to the other case, it doesn't actually make any sense. But so now they say, see, you know, like this, now we have to give the interpretation. And then in giving the interpretation, then they come up with some real wild thing trying to hold it together. So that kind of stuff happens a lot. And then we also have the things Jiva is used in one way and we can only accept in one way. But we see Sanskrit, one word will have many, many applications, many, many meanings. So here is Jiva, meaning that he's the Lord of the Jivas. You know, just like, how you say? Nice. Nala, you know, Nala Damayanti, he's the king of the Nishadas, so he's called Naishada. But it doesn't mean he's necessarily Nisha, he's just in control of the Nishadas. These words do not mean that Lord Sankarshan is himself an individual spirit soul, Jiva. Rather, Lord Sankarshan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is confirmed by the words, Mamo Pe Shasvati Tanu. Therefore, the conclusion is that Lord Sankarshan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is creator of the individual spirit souls. Right? In other words, they manifest through Sankarshan. That's where the tattva comes from. So the point is when you're dealing with the souls as tattva, they're coming from Sankarshan. Now, having come from that place, now then they can either take up the position where they take up service to Krishna. And then now they'll be, now you'll see is they'll take on that mood of expanding from Baladev. Or they take up the mood of being inimical towards Krishna and come to the material world. So now they'll take up the mood of working under the protection of Mahanarayana. I mean, the Mahapurusha. It's because it said there's these three places, right? You know, the Jivas come from Mahavishnu, from, you know, Sankarshana, and from Baladev. And so one is thinking it's three different kinds of entities. No, it's the same entities. But the point is how you're dealing is what you're dealing with. Is the mood where Krishna reciprocates. So if you deal with him simply as his external energy, then you're dealing with Mahavishnu. If you deal with him, Krishna's energy in relationship to Krishna, then you're dealing with, you know, with Balaram. So this whole thing is that, no, I have to come from here and there, and I don't want to be from here. These things are so useless. It's just like, okay, let's say you have a prisoner in a prison. He's under the warden, right? But the point is why is he there? Because he's taken that mood of criminal mood. He gives up that criminal mood, then he's a free citizen. Then he's working under whoever is working on that side, the mayor or the governor or whatever it is that's there. So the difficulty comes up is we're only seeing things from the gross point. We're not seeing it from the mentality. It's just like, okay, let us say we have a child, okay, or a young person, right? Now, let us say that this young person is with another young person. They're going to interact as friends. This young person is with, you know, a younger person. They're going to act as the elder sibling. If there's an elder sibling, they'll act as the younger one. Let's say parents are there, they'll act as the child. But it's the same person. So the whole point is Balaram Mahanarayan and Sankarsana, you know, like this, of the Purusha, they're the same person. It's just different features. So it's the difficulty, because we want to deal with everything by time and space. But in actuality, this is not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with consciousness. We are in the material world because of consciousness, not because of time and space. You know, we're saying, oh, we're produced here. How that's going to happen? You're produced from the Lord. He's the source of his energies. And then, depending upon how one acts, one comes under the internal or under the external. So that's why when you see jivas are described in the Dasamul as, what is jiva tattva? Then it's described what are liberated souls and what are conditioned souls. Because the nature is one, but depending upon how you apply your independence, then you fall in one category or the other. So, yeah. So because Sankarsana is the Lord of the Jivas, therefore then he's called Jiva. Here someone may protest. It is not so. Is it not so that the Shruti Shastras declare, I am Atma Brahma, the individual soul is the supreme? Is it not so then that the individual souls are not in any way different from the supreme? Why then do you claim that the individual spirit souls are subordinate to and dependent upon the supreme? Right, so you see the motive here is they want to be the supreme. They don't want to be subordinate or dependent upon the supreme. They want to be the supreme. Right, so you'll see it's this envy and attachment that goes back. Any material discussion has this in the background, whether it's more to the front or it's farther in the back, you know, whether it's more pious or not, based on Shastra or not, but it's always going to be, this is the point, this is what you're always going to be doing. So now he's explained the point that's being made there. That point where then was here. The many conscious beings are followers of the Supreme, for they must obey his commands, right? So that's the sutra. Now this doubt comes up, and so then, replying to this protest, the author of the sutras reveals his truths. He says, Sutra 12, the next one, they have neither beginning nor end, for they are a specific potency of the Supreme. Udriti. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the Jiva's quality of eternality in the second Adhyaya, Anuchedas 19.20.1, dealing with the nature of the Jiva as follows. In Anucheta 19, the Jiva's primary sweet qualities are described. The Jiva is the shelter of knowledge. Has the quality of knowledge, is conscious and beyond property. He has no birth and no change. It has its own individual form. The jiva is small, eternal, and spreads out. It has knowledge and bliss and the sense of I. So he's spreading out through consciousness. Right? So if you have a body made of consciousness, that's why then, therefore, the jiva can take on that form, that size, because consciousness spreads. It has knowledge and bliss in the sense of I. Right, so you're defining what the jiva is, right? Because the I means the sat aspect. Sat means you exist, so therefore you have an individuality. So there's a sense of I, then with that, then you have knowledge. So that means the qualities, the willpower, you know, the ability to endeavor. And bliss means that you can experience things that are performed. You can experience your own existence. You can experience knowledge and willpower. But the main thing is when you experience your bliss in connection with Krishna. In other words, your happiness comes from Krishna rather than from this that sense of I and knowledge. So that's why you see is that for the Vrajvasis, the knowledge that he's God and you know all these aspects aren't so important for them. And so their point is about they see the relationship to Krishna based on that aspect of Ananda. That he is the most wonderful person, and so then they are committed to that relationship and that feature. Does that make sense? So, like you see, is that when you're taking it, how do you say, the Brajvasis, then you're going to see is that it's about the Bhagawan feature. That's the main thing. This Ananda aspect, the sweetness, is the main thing. Well, then you see in Vaikuntha, it's going to be about how he's the Supreme Lord, right? And that aspect, he's knowledge, he's all these qualities, he's the great, he's the controller, he's the seer, he's the witness, all these different aspects. And that'll be the Dasya Ras. And the Shanta Ras will be how he's the Supreme Absolute Truth, how he pervades everything and all that. So it's all features of Bhagavan. But it's just where what you're doing. So the one is more on sat, the mother was more on chit, and the Vrajvasi is more on the mother. Like that. They all have all three, but it's just the proportion, which how you like the proportion. You know, it's just like I remember how you say, you know, say you know, you had something, and then what's the proportion of how you eat that with something else? You know, it's just like, okay, you have a piece of bread. What's the proportion of butter you put on it? You know, in other words, do you put the butter so when you scrape the knife like that, you can actually see how the butter is only inside the little air holes in the bread, but actually where, you know, the top of the actual bread on the, you know, is, there's no butter. It's only in the little bit of holes, right? Or it's a little bit more, or it's actually thick enough you could actually draw pictures. You know, so it's a matter of proportion. So the same way, it's just the Brajvasis, the intensity of the sweetness and all that, that's what they're absorbing. That aspect of how wonderful Krishna is, and that intensity. While the other is, he's wonderful because he's the Supreme. You know, he's God. And then there's he's wonderful because he's the Absolute Truth. Does that make sense? Yeah. It does not decrease, is the knower of the body, and is different from other jivas eternally. The jiva cannot be burned, cut, moistened, or dried out. It cannot be destroyed. Endowed with these qualities, the jiva is subordinate to the Lord. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 6.226, 34-36. Insentience, jada, in the jivas rejected and unchanged 20. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep, the three functions of the intelligence, are caused by the three gunas. The jiva is ascertained to be different from those three states, since it is only the witness to them, right? So these things are aspects of features of the intelligence, but the jiva is able to perceive them, right? Even if he's in deep sleep, he can perceive it. Otherwise, you see, it's covered, nothing's happening. So then, how but he can perceive it? That's interesting that these are functions of the intelligence. So that means, does that mean when you're sitting in the calculus class, staring out the window and completely, like daydreaming, that's technically using your intelligence. It's a state of intelligence. It may not be the state that the teacher's hoping you'll use, but it's still a state of the intelligence. No? Okay. Change in the jiva is rejected in Anucheda 21. The appearance and disappearance of the various phases of the moon occurs because of the watery nature of the moon glow and the reflection of the sun's rays. The moon itself does not change. Similarly, the body changes its state because of invisible time. But the Atma does not change. Yes. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The individual spirit souls have neither beginning nor end, for they are a specific potency of the Supreme. Right? Because being a potency, he being energetic means that there's energy. And so then the jivas have already always been there. They're always there. It's just a matter of when we say he's expanding, he's manifesting, that just means now you see, it becomes prakat. Otherwise, then all those unlimited jivas or unlimited forms of the Lord or everything else in his spiritual world, you know, the Vaikuntha planets, they're just apricot. You can't see them. Like that. And the potency of the Lord have neither beginning nor end. And the Shruti Shastra said, I think even the materialists say energy is never destroyed, it just transforms. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is like a great fire, and the individual spirit souls are like sparks of that fire. Right? So that's why you see Prabhupada's always quoting that. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:7, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmented parts. Right? So they're eternal, they're fragmental parts. They're, you know, does that make sense? So they exist eternally, and they exist eternally as fragmental parts. So this idea that when they say that you are Brahma, but it means, yes, you are. You're a fragmental part of Brahma, but you always are that. He's unlimited. In the Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva declares, some sages say that the eternal individual souls have qualities like those of the Lord himself. Lord Shiva again declares, other sages say that individual souls are not eternal, that the soul is an illusion, artificial, and imagination, that the soul is like a reflection of sunlight on water, and that, as a reflection, eventually disappears, so the individual soul eventually ceases to exist, right? So Lord Shiva says that some say this, right? And you can take him as an authority on this particular philosophy, seeing that he came as Sankaracharya and documented. Right. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:5-6, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, besides this inferior nature, O Arjuna, there's a superior energy of mind, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. In Bhagavad Gita 2:28, the Supreme Personality of Godhead again explains, all created beings are unmanifested in their beginning, manifest in the interim state, and unamassed manifest again when they are annihilated. So what a need is there of lamentation? So means they're always there. They don't disappear. So that living entity that you've known, they don't disappear. You know, they don't cease to exist. They're manifest in one form. You see them there, and then the soul moves on to a different form. Right? You know, so here they move from one body to the next, through the 8,400,000 species. And on the spiritual platform, then they go transfer from the material world to the spiritual world. And then on that platform, then they're engaged in the Lord's service. But eternally. In the Katha Upanishad 1-18, it is said, right? So in both cases, there's no lamentation because the soul doesn't get lost. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death. Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Here someone may say, since the individual spirit souls are a specific potency of the Lord, they are in all respects one with him. They are not in any way different from him. Concerned that someone may speak in this way, in the next sutra, the author emphasizes the difference between the individual souls and the Supreme Lord. So you see here is that he's making the point, explaining it all, giving the conclusion, and then he's giving the introduction to the next thing. Like we said, it's always coming at the end there. So then that's the you know, this is the basis of the where we use the vrittis, and we explain, okay, the next anucheda, then, you know, Jiva Goswami is going to say this and that. Comes from this principle. Right? So they're going to say he's a specific potency of the Lord, therefore he's in all respects is one with him. Right? So you see again that attachment to, no, they have to be one. Right? That's the principle. Sutra 13, although they are spiritual and blissful.
Maharaj?
Ah.
Jagdish Prabhu sent a question.
Ah, what is this question?
That the Lord, recently I have heard that Lord Sabod has three states of existence, Prakat, Aprakat, and Bauma. I thought Prakat and Bauma are the same. Please clarify.
It's not that these have to be separate existences, you know, because just like Prakat and Aprakat, they're not different pastimes. They're just whether you can see them or not. So then you're going to have the situation that you have the Prakat, means how you say it. Because the point in the spiritual world, then they're always visible to those who are there. But for us here, they're not visible. And then when he performs his pastimes here, when he, due to his desire, they're visible. And when the time has come, then they're not visible. You know? And so then you're going, so it's going to be the same position. And then you're going to have the natural, the spiritual world, and you're going to have the material world, where they're manifest. But it's the same pastimes. It's the same spiritual quality and potencies. So there's not going to be any difference. We just bring out the Boma so that one understands that those pastimes of Prakat and Prakat are also here. They're the same, of the same quality. So the Boma are not material. But at the same time, as you see that in Prakat Lila here in the material world, there may be certain pastimes that are only performed in the Boma Lila. So in that way, you might make a difference. Because otherwise, his pastimes are visible to those who are qualified. You know, it's like that verse, Om Tad Vishnu Parama Padam, is that the great sages, they see the Lord in the spiritual world and all that. They have that vision. Right? So the Prakat and Aprakat that you're able to see or not see, but at the same time, as in Boma has some uniqueness in that you're going to have killing of the demons, and, you know, some specific pastimes like that. You're going to see him, you know, in the one pastime, you know, change ages and all that. So he'll start off at Kumara, then Pauganda, then Kaishore. Then he'll go to, you know, Mathura, and then you'll see Yogana pastimes. While in the spiritual world, you won't see that progression like that. You know, you're absorbed in serving the Lord in a particular way. You'll always be in that feature. But at the same time as those devotees, they come here into the Boma Lila, and then here they'll see all of them. So therefore, to give that uniqueness to the Boma, that it has those specific aspects. Does that make sense? So they don't have to be, the explanation of this doesn't have to be time and space. It's just Boma Lila is different from the Goloka Lila. So therefore you have the Prakat Aprakat. In that. Does that make sense? Does that work, or is Jagadish there?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
He speaks. Very good, very good. Thank you. I haven't heard your voice for a long time. Okay. Yes, because it means, because doubts will always come up, because we see as these kind of doubts, philosophical, that they're bringing here, because of the desire to control and enjoy. So you're always going to get, everything's all going to go back to them. And then doubts come up because of time and space. Right? You know, so the inherent desire that we're interested in is how we can be the controller and enjoyer. You know, we very much like that concept. Right? Then what we're going to try to judge everything from material logic. Material logic means it has to be time and space. Right? There has to be an order of things, and that's how it works. So that's why I sometimes thought Puranas are, you know, they're not necessarily chronological. And so then they'll think, well, this aren't proper history, because historians really got into the thing to show this happened, this and this, and then this happened here and that. And so, you know, it brings out some interesting points. It's what happened at what time. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily show the connection of mentality, you know. So time and space has its place, but it's not that it will answer all things. You know, just like we wanna be able to understand all things through logic. But that's not necessarily the basis of what's going to make things work. It's that Krishna is who he is. And because of the inconceivable potency, all inconsistencies are reconciled together. They can be together at the same time. Therefore, as we saw yesterday, as he's talking about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or where it was Narottam Das Thakur, it's that you, I think it's Narottam Das Thakur, that you have this being absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and separation, then is simultaneously like the greatest poison, but the greatest nectar at the same time. Because the separation makes you so focused on Krishna, and by being so focused on Krishna, you taste the greatest nectar. But from being separated from Krishna, then you have the greatest misery. So that combination there, it puts the devotees in the topmost ecstasy. And so in the spiritual platform, that works out very, very nicely. But in the material world, you're unable to, these things don't go together. Right? Like that. You see some elements like that. Someone's so happy they're crying. You know, or things that it's so miserable they start laughing. Like I remember you going along, and you're going along, it's already like raining, you're trying to keep yourself dry like that. And so, you know, you're suffering a bit there. And then a car comes by and hits a puddle and completely soaks you wet. Like there's nothing left to be dry. I can remember sometimes you just start laughing because it can't get any worse. I mean, how does this happen? You know, but it's you're already trying the wet and then this like that. So you can have these contradictions, but they're not a prominent thing. But in the spiritual world, these things are so perfectly reconciled, and that everything just flows. You have all the different emotions and all that all flowing together. That's how you have the secondary rasas, then they can be called, they're called rasas. So they have that because they have all the definition of rasa, but at the same time as they're not independent from the primary rasas. That's why they're secondary. So secondary means they have that same nature, but they're still dependent on the primary. You know, so all these things can work very nicely, or that the avachari bhavas. So we have the vyabhichari, the asset that it's an opposing element. And so therefore, because it's opposing, it will create some adjustment. But at the same time as then having adjusted, now it'll go in a new direction. So that's the sanchari aspect. Remember, there's always a big discussion, you know, is it sanchari or vyabhichari? Is it this or that? No, it's both. Because as soon as you bring in an opposing element, it takes it in a new direction. Right, so that's the whole thing is you have it does something else. It's just like if I have some sweet, it's just a sweet. But now if I add a lot of sour to that, now I have a chutney. So instead of eating it like a sweet, now I stick my pakora in it. Right, so that's the thing is it's an opposing element, but being reconciled. Now it moves into something else, and now it's used in a different way. Does that make sense? I guess today I should say what's your alutika goes into there, or your sabudana wada goes into there. Yeah. Somehow or another, always, I've noticed dasami evening and then ekadasi. We always talk about food.
Guru Maharaj? Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. May I ask you one question?
Yes.
I want to back to the previous discussion about majesty and the sweetness of Bhagavan. And to ask, we have in the Western philosophies, we have two concepts. That one concept is the concept of emanation, that God doesn't have any energy, that God has energies, and he is something impersonal, and he spread his energies, and it's like a Brahma Parinama Vada. It's from Greek philosophy, and Abrahamic theologians, they were against of this philosophy, and they said that God didn't transform himself to this world because God and God doesn't have energies because they have concept creation from nothing, and they say that if we will say that God created this world from something, means that he is not enough powerful, because it's easy for everyone to make something from something which is exist. And it's not about God. That's why they said we have concept in Bible that everything was created from nothing. And I want to ask, is it this philosophy appears because they emphasize also on the Kriya Shakti potency, that and the on Sat energy more than Hladini, and for them, majesty of God means ability to create something from anything, from nothing.
Yeah, but still, nothing has to come from somewhere. Point is, nothing can't have an existence separately from the Lord, so even that nothing has to be coming from the Lord. So you said all of these, they have portions that are correct, but then they're only taking a portion, and with that portion, they're trying to make it complete. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be the difference, is that which aspect they take by the particular modes or by the particular nature that they have in that local area, what's important to them, what they value, then they're going to emphasize that aspect and then try to fill that aspect out that is a full thing, you know, like a child, that they take sweets and try to make that into a full meal, you know, like that. So that's the thing, is everybody will take their area. But the point is if they sang, you know, the impersonal, the Shakti comes, but the point is the Shakti that it comes and that is able to transform and do all these different things, that means where does the nature of that Shakti come from if it's not coming from the source? So in other words, they're accepting Parinamabad, but what about Satkaryabad? So that they're missing that aspect. And the others are saying, no, but he's the supreme and has to be, you know, he can do something we can't do, so he makes something from nothingness. And that's fine, but you have to understand that he made the nothingness also. And the point is, since his energies come and he transforms, what's the problem? Because you can't do that either. So, in other words, we don't have unlimited powers that can switch from spiritual to material. We don't have that. We have limited power. So they just have their way that they want to establish that he's the supreme. So we can see as both of them have a part, but both of them, it's not complete. So in other words, you always have the standard of what it is, and then you show, this is showing this aspect, that's showing that aspect. So they're both trying to show the supremacy of the Lord, but at the same time, as they're missing the point, is that being a person, that's how everything personal comes. The impersonal is not enough. So the one is, they make The energies are personal, but the Lord is impersonal. The others, they make the Lord personal, but then the energies is impersonal because they don't come from him. So both of them have that impersonal aspect. They're not complete. So you have to have all three features of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Then you understand the absolute truth. Okay. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.